Merry Christmas one more time. And I just want to say welcome one more time to those of you that are here with us at LifeQuest Community Church. And if you, maybe you're not aware, but we broadcast our services every Sunday on villageradio.net. And so for the folks that are listening next week, because we are every week is a week of delay, happy belated Christmas to you if no one wished you a Merry Christmas. And so this morning, as we jump in, we are wrapping up our series, Unforgettable Christmas. And kids, today is a special day. We've got everyone in together. Normally, all our kids are upstairs. But do you, what's one of the favorite your favorite things about Christmas? Presents. Nathan, I was looking for kids, and Nathan said presents. No, that's all right. That's all right. What's your favorite thing about Christmas, Ben?
Celebrating God's birth. I always get mixed up with Easter.
So, Jesus. Yes, that's your favorite part. Celebrating his birth. Somebody else? Julia, did you have your hand raised up? No? Nathaniel, what's your favorite thing about Christmas? Rudolph. The songs. Okay, the music. I get it.
And the movie.
The movie Rudolph, the TV specials, Bumbles Do Bounce. Somebody else, family, yeah. What else?
Snow.
Well, sometimes we get snow. Not always. Candy canes, right? Jake, come on up. Come on up here. I have different flavors. All right. So, Jake, I need your help. What can you tell me about that candy cane? It's a symbolic, it looks like a shepherd's staff, yeah, yeah. What else can you tell me about the candy cane?
Stripes,
do you know what those stripes represent? Yeah, so there's three stripes on an official candy cane. So there are counterfeit candy canes out there, I'm sorry to tell you this. There are counterfeits. But on an official candy cane, there, it's white is the foundation. Do you know what that white stands for? Because the guy who invented candy canes, he designed them with a specific purpose. And so the white and the red have a specific meaning. What do you think the white could stand for in your candy cane?
His body.
His body? Whose body? Jesus' body, yeah. What else? Anyone want to help Jake out? What does the white stand for in our candy cane? Purity, right? That when Jesus forgives us, we become as white as snow, right? Our sins are washed away. And then you said the stripes, the three, if it's official candy cane, it's going to have one big, bold red stripe and then three smaller stripes that represent what, Jake?
His flashes.
The stripes on his body, right where when he was crucified. Yeah, that, and he was wounded for our transgressions. Isaiah 53 says that by his stripes we are healed, right? Yeah. So it's representative of a shepherd's crook. It can also be a J for Jesus. Yeah. Do you know when the first candy canes were used? Do you have any idea? Yes. In 1500, he is not wrong. In the 1500s, they had a choir concert and they included the children, and the pastor had sticks of sugared candy to give to the kids to keep them quiet in church. And then years later, a German candy maker, he made them into what we know as the candy cane today, as a symbol. So, Jake, can you help me? Can you help pass these out to everybody? Kids first. All right, so just FYI, there's multiple kinds. So there is the official real kind, which I made sure that I found. For those of you that are children of the 80s, there are lemon head flavored, right? Lemon head. Then if it's just a plain old, if it's just not plain old, if it's colored like this, it's cherry flavor for those who like cherry. And then if you are bold, like if you want an unforgettable Christmas, there's ones that say sour, and there are Warheads sour candy canes to make your Christmas unforgettable. Jake, go ahead and help pass those out. One per kid, please. Here, Nathan, Luke, can you come help me? Just come help Jake. Ah. Go that way. Of course. Well, then you can't use it as a sword until you've sucked it down to a sharpened point so you can poke out someone's eye. Yeah, you have to wait for it to be sharp as a needle, then you can sword fight. You're welcome, moms. Oh, Jake, you're doing a great job. All right, so while those are being handed out, if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2. We are going to wrap up our Unforgettable Christmas series, and I just want to read the Christmas story to you one more time. So Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. You can leave it off. Go ahead. Yeah. So we're going to have a video in just a second. Thanks. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. And he traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." I learned some things about that passage. You know, you think about how many times you've heard the Christmas story. And I learned something new this year for Christmas that I wanted to share with you that I thought was pretty powerful. You know, we've all heard the story of the shepherds, right? And we've all seen the Christmas plays with the kids in their bathrobes and Charlie Brown and Linus as he reads the Christmas story. But last week I talked about how Bethlehem, the name Bethlehem means house of bread, right? And that then Jesus became, he said about himself that "I am the bread of life." And in the other gospels, when they tell the Christmas story, they talk about how that there was no room for them in the inn. And so the only place available for Mary and Joseph to go was in the stable. And when we hear that word stable, we think instantly we think to a nice wooden warm structure that has straw and hay and cute little animals. But the reality of that was that there were places where people could stay, that as they were coming through towns, there were like guest houses. And then behind the guest houses, there were places where the animals were kept and fed and stored. Now, what's amazing about this is that Bethlehem, the house of bread, where the living bread, where the bread of life would be born, Bethlehem was also a very unique community. It was about 7 miles away from Jerusalem. And for Jews in throughout history, the way that they worshiped God, their ultimate celebration was the celebration of Passover. And at Passover, there was a lamb that was sacrificed for that Passover worship. And those lambs had to be perfect. They couldn't have any blemish. They couldn't have any injury. They couldn't have bruises. They couldn't. Their coats had to be perfect. So if they were black, they had to be all black. Or if they were white, they had to be all white. They couldn't have splotches or any imperfections. And one of the things that I learned was that there was in Bethlehem an area where those lambs were taken and cared for. It was a system of kind of recessed caves. And in those caves, they had something that they only used on Passover lambs. And they were these strips of cloth that they would swaddle the lambs in so that they couldn't injure themselves, so that as you were preparing a lamb to take it, to present to the high priest, to say, this lamb is a perfect lamb. This lamb is ready for sacrifice. There's no blemish. There's nothing. And they would wrap the lambs in these strips of cloth so that the lamb couldn't hurt itself the day before it was being brought and presented to the high priest. So then when the angels appear to the shepherds, and they say, the Messiah, the King of Kings, is born, and this is how you'll find him. They didn't say, like the wise men had the benefit of the star to follow, right? And we learned this last week, that the star, that when the wise men showed up, Jesus was probably already 1 or 2 years old. He was a toddler. But the shepherds didn't have the star. And so the angels had to give the shepherds the exact GPS coordinates to know where to go. So otherwise, you didn't have these dirty, smelly guys running through town, peeking in windows, trying to figure out where the baby is. The angel said, you will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. What's a manger? Well, we call it a crib, but what was it really? What was it used for? A feeding trough. So when the angel said that to the shepherds were like, bing, I know exactly where that is. That's the caves where the Passover lambs are kept. That's where the baby will be. I think that's pretty amazing. That Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And that as he was born, he was wrapped in swaddling cloths like the Passover lamb. Isn't that amazing? So this morning, we're actually going to watch a video. You guys okay with that? If we watch a video, this video is called The Chosen, and it's a story about the shepherd who was bringing Passover lambs for sacrifice. Let's watch it.
lovely day today, isn't it?
How are you?
But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them up unto the time when she who is in labor has given birth, and he shall be their peace. A reading from the scroll of the prophet Micah.
Perfect. No blemish. Nothing. Nothing wrong. See?
Spotless.
Good. No blemish.
This one's good.
Thank you.
Teacher, I have a question about the Messiah. I've studied Torah every day.
Shepherd wants to learn.
Yes. Do you believe the Messiah will set us free from the occupation?
Yes, he will make a great military leader.
Are you sure? Because last Shabbat, the priest read from Prophet Ezekiel, and he did not say...
How dare you?
I'm sorry, teacher. He is obsessed.
You brought this animal? I said spotless.
Spotless? Yes.
These are for righteous men. For the perfect sacrifice.
Very sorry. Very sorry. Very sorry.
You wonder why the Messiah hasn't come? People like you keeping him away with your stains. If you come back here without a perfect lamb, I will banish you all from the marketplace.
Now, come, come. I warned you about this. Are you deaf as well as lame?
I'm sorry.
We are not slowing down for you. You take this friend back up to the hill and try and keep up. Or find your own way back.
The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divided the spoil. For the yoke of his burden, and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of
you
his oppressor. You
want to listen?
No, this is a holy place.
Please.
You are filthy. Go.
For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. Strengthen the weak hands.
Excuse me, friend. Could you point me to a well in this town? My wife hasn't had a drink in hours.
At the other end of the square.
Thank you, brother.
Well, wait. Here.
Oh, thank you for your kindness.
How far have you come?
From Galilee, Nazareth.
Don't say that too loud here. You know, they say, nothing good can come from...
I know what they say about Nazareth.
Don't worry, I won't tell anyone. Secret safe with me.
Thank you for the kindness.
And my name is Simon.
Out of my way.
We must go.
Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute shall sing for joy. A reading from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah.
This way.
Yes, well, next time, I would wipe my hands with his robe. He would faint.
A Pharisee is so cheap. When he writes his will, he names himself as the heir.
And then he still doesn't get much.
No.
Finally, he's back.
Hello, Simon.
Stay with the sheep.
He is useless. Why do you keep him around?
He's a good boy.
You want some dinner?
Finally.
Aaron made dinner tonight, so nothing is cooked.
Yes.
The food is fine. It's my grandmother's recipe, so leave it alone.
Yeah, then that is why your grandfather left.
Again and again.
Hey, take whatever they want.
Oh, I wish that woman wouldn't have left the well.
Oh, she was very,
very
beautiful.
Very pretty. Ooh.
She was very beautiful.
Can I have my dinner now?
Not with us. No. Your plate is over there.
I do what happened this morning. You sleep with the sheep tonight.
And pay attention this time.
And watch out for wolves.
Watch out for the Pharisee. He might come after you.
A Roman took another sheep yesterday.
Simon, they're talking about the Romans again.
But they cooked it right in front of me.
You're lucky. You're lucky you're not part of this conversation. But Romans, again and again.
Let them pay. Good pay. They take whatever they want.
Let's talk about something else.
So beautiful.
We must tell someone.
We must tell everyone.
We must tell everyone.
Everyone. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've waited for this for so long. So long.
His arm. His arm.
His arm.
His arm.
Yes, his arm.
Oh, it's okay. What were you naming?
Jesus.
We will name him Jesus. I must go. People must know. People must know.
People must know.
To us, a child is born. To us, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore.
You! I told you not to come back here. So where is it? Have you found a spotless lamb for sacrifice?
I know it was hard to see because it was so dark, but I love how Simon, as he realizes what's happened, you couldn't see it because it was dark, but he's struggling in the dark over the hills to get back into town. And as he's running to the Messiah, all of a sudden he realizes, I don't need my crutch anymore. And he throws his crutch behind, and he actually gets to the couple first. And then Mary offers one of the swaddling cloths to bandage the wound on his arm. That was pretty cool. This Christmas, we have the opportunity to make it unforgettable. We have the opportunity to bring the hope and the joy that we have. The Savior is born. This is what it's all about. So this Christmas, I want to encourage you, find someone to share the hope that you have with. I know many of you, I want to say thank you to all of you that gave out a Christmas basket to a family in need. You have no idea what that does. That simple gesture, and not that much, right? It wasn't that big of a deal to do a little shopping and take some time to go bless a family. And it's amazing. There's a family that we've reached through the gate that I believe God's opening a door to allow some pretty amazing things to happen. We learned some things that I just... God is faithful, and he knows. He knows what people need. And all we have to do is be willing to take that step of faith and say, God, I'll go. I'll share. I will give. I will love so that someone else can have an unforgettable Christmas. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the joy of Christmas. We thank you, God, that we have something to celebrate. Not just presents and trees and cookies and family. We can celebrate that you have given us life. So, Father, we pray that as we wrap up our time this morning, that we would express that joy. Like Simon, the shepherd, who when he was asked, have you found him? Have you found the spotless lamb? The look of joy on his face was beautiful. Father, help us to have that same joy and to worship you this Christmas holiday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Nathan's really pumped. Could you stand and sing one last song with us?
I wasn't like
ready now? Is everybody ready? Are we ready? You all ready? All right, go for it.
Merry Christmas. Pray that you have an awesome afternoon. If you're able to come back and join us, we're going to have our Christmas Eve gazebo service right outside at 5:30. Christmas gift to you and a gift of you to us. We're not going to tear down anything today. So Merry Christmas. If you could help us by please cleaning up your table so that it's all ready to go. If we need to come inside tonight, that we want it ready. And then we'll have some folks come on Tuesday, and we're going to put this all away on Tuesday. Merry Christmas. See you at 5:30.